Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite chapters, Romans chapter 8. I want to entitle the sermon this morning, No Condemnation. And I was going to preach on condemnation, but I better just change it to No Condemnation. That'd be better. Okay. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and your Holy Spirit here. Dear God, we never want to meet here without you, because you're the reason we come, because we need your help. And I pray, oh God, that you would encourage and strengthen and instruct us in the righteousness, Lord, in the Scriptures. I pray that your Holy Spirit and anoint your servant, anoint your people to hear all of us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. No condemnation. I'm sure if you've ever done anything wrong, and that would include 100% here. Now, I don't know if that's a revelation to anybody or not, but shouldn't be. But you may feel condemned. Let me start this off by just giving this illustration. It's a personal one of what I saw. I was a first grader, and we didn't have kindergarten back then. We were had such a high IQ and high level of intelligence, we didn't need kindergarten. You know better than that. But I remember my first grade teacher, and Mrs. Clayton was her name, and I never forget it. And she was a kind person. But a little boy kept acting up in class, and she stretched out with him for a while and didn't say much. And the next time, she picked up a ping pong paddle and in front of the class, right there at his seat, worked his backside over. That's a nice way to say it. And, you know, surely he felt condemned. But however, after that, nobody else in the class wanted to feel condemned. We all behaved. You know, throughout that year, there was no such thing as attention deficit disorder. She had our attention the rest of the year. I realize if a teacher did that today, they'd probably spend time in the pen for it. That's sad. But anyway, that young boy knew what it was to feel condemned, no doubt. And listened to a documentary on the prison Alcatraz, which is no longer in function, hadn't been for many years now, but criminals there were condemned for life. And many of them, that's all they'd spent their life in, a life of crime, and they were shut up in the most secure prison there was, with Alcatraz. And so they had nothing to lose, they felt, by trying to escape. Nobody ever escaped from that prison, and the ones that tried to are either eaten by sharks or drowned in the water or were shot on their way to swim to freedom. But most that attempted to get to be free from there lost their lives in one way or another. But in the spiritual sense, you know, God pardoned our death sentence of sin when we confessed him as Savior and believed that he was the Son of God and what he did on the cross was for us. So the writer of Romans here, and Rome was not a wonderful place. The Romans were the world rulers of that day, and the Romans could be cruel, and they were a very powerful government, and they crucified many people just for crimes. Jesus wasn't the only one crucified. There were scores of people crucified by the Romans, and anybody that would attempt to take over a Roman government was immediately crucified. And if you were a Roman citizen, you couldn't be crucified. That was law. But you could be executed. They would just be nice to you and just cut your head off. Okay. But in the spiritual sense, the Bible says there is therefore now, and I want to focus on the word now for just in a minute here, no condemnation. But in a court of law, condemnation means receiving the guilty verdict, and punishment and sentence would be given by the judge. But Jesus came to a world that was already condemned. John 3:17 says, "For Jesus came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved," saved from judgment for their sins, of course. And there was a church planted in Rome, Paul the Apostle. God used him to plant a church in Rome and needed one bad, and to establish a people who were condemned to death by sinful behavior. And this is spiritual. And so, however, now there was a church there, was a church in Rome, people were saved and no longer condemned because the death sentence was taken away, the death sentence of sin was taken away because of their faith in Christ. And now they could say, now there is no condemnation. Now that they had acknowledged their sinful condition and needed Jesus, now that they had heard the word of God, Romans 3:19, that the whole world was guilty before God, which included them, which included me and you until we came to Christ, and all of sin falls short of the glory of God, and we know that the death penalty for sin is there. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that now that we have come to Christ, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we know that now there is faith that Christ paid for our sins on the cross, and now that he took our guilt and our shame and condemnation upon himself. And it's a marvelous thing. It's a wonderful thing. It was an awful thing in the sense of crucifixion and the cruelty that went into such a means of execution that carnal man came up with. But Jesus took our guilt, he took our shame, he took our condemnation upon himself. Every sense of guilt that you ever felt when you did something wrong, and you know, you can't look at me innocently, when I can't at you either. But everybody knows what it is to be guilty, to have guilt in our life. I should have done this or I should have done that. And I'm guilty because I didn't, and because I didn't do what I was supposed to do, this happened, and I'm guilty. Okay? But Jesus took every ounce of guilt upon himself on that cross because he died for a people that were totally and fully guilty of breaking God's law and sinning. Okay? And so now he took our guilt. There's therefore now no condemnation because he took our guilt, shame, and condemnation upon himself. And it says there in Scripture, we leave it out sometimes, we shouldn't. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. In Christ. Amen. In Christ Jesus. Not those who think about him occasionally, not those who hear fake news, but there's people who have a fake faith. Not those who had just signed a church membership roll and say, I'm okay. But those who are in Christ Jesus, in relationship with Christ, in a faithful walk with Christ, in a continuing pursuit of the things of God, those are people that are not condemned. Amen. Those who are in fellowship, who are walking in their faith, who have made the decision to live for God and made the decision to forsake the pursuit of a sinful life. Those who are basing their lives and behavior on scriptural truths. And people pursue many, many things in life. And you can look around the congregation. All of us have pursued something in life. And a career of some kind. I'm not saying that that's sin. It's good. Amen. Maybe you've pursued reasonable and honorable things in your life. But there are people that are in pursuit of a sinful life that's against God. And you don't have to look very far to find that in the world. If we look at that, we look at the church that Paul established not only in Rome, but he established one in Corinth. And Corinth was a place that was known for its immorality. Actually, to play the Corinthian was a term used for those who are extremely immoral. And there were many sinful lifestyles in Corinth, but there needed to be a church there. There needed to be some light of the gospel shine to those people, because it's all sin. They're all headed to eternal destruction unless they were saved. And Paul preached to them, and Paul, in the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he lists a whole list of sins for why people would die and go to hell and not be saved. And if you go through that list, you can find all of those today. But when they repented and come to Christ, they were no longer condemned. And these people that were immoral in many ways, and that included the gay lifestyle, it included drunken lifestyle, it included the thieving lifestyle, any of the Ten Commandments you could break, they broke them all. But when they were born again of God's Spirit, when the gospel came to them, they would no longer be condemned for those sins. They didn't continue to sin those sins. Jesus saved them not so they could keep on sinning. Jesus saved them from their sins. And Paul writes to them and says, but you were washed. That means they were unclean spiritually before. You were sanctified. Means you, deliverance from sin. Man, absence of sin and deliverance and pursuit of holiness. Declared not guilty, justified, declared not guilty by the name, in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. And you say, how could God save such people as that? If you look at all the sins that they committed, let me ask you a question that'll pierce right into all of our hearts. How could God save you and how could God save me? Because He's good and He chose to come. He came not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved, delivered, set free from condemnation, declared not guilty, justified, amen, sanctified, separated from evil, and devoted to God, amen. And so, that's what God can do and does. And Jesus came to a world that was already condemned. And so Jesus didn't come to condemn people. Yes, He did. He came and He pointed out sins and He spoke of sins, and Jesus taught scriptures correctly and He pointed out to where people were wrong, and Jesus pointed out things that would send them to eternal destruction and gave a life sentence to people that would repented of their sins. So He didn't come to condemn a world that was already condemned. And this promise is for those who do not walk according to the flesh. That would be the sinful nature or the part in you that just wants to sin so bad, but you know you ought not to. Does that help a little bit on the flesh? Okay. Walk not after the sinful nature, but after the Holy Spirit. The part of you that wants to do right and knows to do right, amen, and is prompted by God that you better do right. Okay. I don't think that's a scripture, but it fit in maybe. Those who are in pursuit of God and not a pursuit of spiritual nature. Okay? Let's notice verse 2 in this passage that we read. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is the controlling influence of sin leading to death and condemnation. And if we look at it correctly, it's the Ten Commandments. Because the Ten Commandments made everybody guilty. And the Ten Commandments wasn't because God was mean and cruel that He gave them to us. It just showed us what God expected of humanity, and it defined sin. That's the reason if you don't want the Bible around or any part of the school, or in any part of society, is because it defines right and wrong. It brings guilt to people. That's the reason so many people don't want the Bible around, because it makes them feel guilty. And it makes them feel guilty because they are. And so it defines sin. I mean, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness, lie against your neighbor. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. All those commandments. Because God defined sin, showed us what it was. And showed us that we needed forgiveness and deliverance from them. And that's the whole reason for Jesus coming to the cross, is so that He could redeem us and take away our condemnation so we would be accepted by God in heaven and be clean and pure and upright before Him. And that's what the blood of Jesus makes us, is pure and clean. And the law, so it was the law of sin and death because it defined sin. But the law of the Spirit of life in verse 2 is the Holy Spirit who is who is here called the Spirit of Life, as opening up the souls of believers a fountain of spiritual life. Jesus compared this to water in John 7:37-39. And when Jesus said, out, he who believes on me, out of his, I don't like the word because the older you get and heavier you get, you don't sound very good. But out of the King James it says, out of his belly. New King James, a little better. Out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. Man. And so that's a work of the Spirit. And so the law of sin and death, spiritual death, came by sin. Also the Ten Commandments identified sin, also made everyone guilty. But the phrase, the Spirit of Life, means the Holy Spirit produces life. And God, by His Holy Spirit, when a person is cleansed from their sin, God gives them peace concerning where they're going to spend forever, spend eternity, where they're going to spend forever and ever. You say, well, is that important? Yes, it's very important. Amen. It's the most important thing in the world is where you're going to spend forever. Because when you leave this body of death, amen, your body dies, but your spirit man either goes to be with Jesus, to live with him forever, or your spirit man goes to eternal darkness, which there's no escape of that. So it's based upon those two things. Amen. And so we've been made free from the law of sin and death. Free from the controlling power of sin. Doesn't mean you're perfect. No, but it means you have the Holy Spirit there to convict you when you are doing wrong so that you can repent and be forgiven. Amen. The Bible says, 1 John 2:1-2, it says, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so the Holy Spirit is there to convict. Thank God for that. And today we easily see the controlling power of sin in all. I mentioned it earlier in prayer requests, the shooting and the killing of innocent citizens. Amen. I wish on every billboard throughout this world, on every highway, there would be the Ten Commandments written, thou shalt not kill. Because you see, when there's no restraining force, when there's no word against it, everybody just decides what's right in your own eyes. We need God to decide what's right and wrong. And people need to be taught what is right and wrong. And people need to be taught a difference between right and wrong. And this world hasn't learned it very well. But I can tell you something, when you're a believer and you've come to God, you come to know that what you've been doing was wrong, and you need Christ to save you and turn you to what you're doing, to where you're doing right and living right and walking with God and living for God and caring about other people that are not saved and not ready to meet God and praying for them and praying for friends and loved ones and family that you know aren't on their way to heaven, and pray that God will convict them by His Holy Spirit, and pray that God will use your life as a testimony to them. That's what the world has got to have. And God has chosen you and I to do that. The Bible, Isaiah, describes the sinful world that we live in. And he says to the people of his day, no doubt it can apply to us as well. If anything ever could, it can. And it did. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Does that happen today? Yes. You know, people want to make up a sanctified version of sin. There is no sanctified version of sin. There's no renaming sin to make it a little bit easier and a little bit not quite as sinful. No, we've tried to do that. And, you know, people say, well, that person is just kind of out of the way or kind of out of fellowship. No, they're lost without God. They need Christ. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And Isaiah, if he had a pastor to church today, he'd probably had to leave and find him somewhere else to preach, because they wouldn't want people to define right and wrong. They want just, you're okay just like you are, just go ahead and live for the devil for 6 days and just repent on Sunday. And hope Jesus doesn't come on Monday. No, he nails it down here. You said you've got to make a choice between one or the two. and there's good and there's evil, you got to make the choice that you want good. You want God. And spiritually, we are free from the death and penalty of sin when we come to Christ. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. I know this is basic gospel, but people need the basic gospel, so do I. And Jesus here, or the Word of God here, tells us that the wages of sin is death. It means the second death, as defined in the book of Revelation. It means eternal separation from the love, mercy, hope, and life of God. I want to tell you, hell will not be the place you want to go. You don't want to go there. There's no peace there. There's no word of encouragement there. There's no strength there. There's no hope of ever being anything else except eternally burned in the literal flames of a literal hell. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to suffer the second death. First death you can handle. When the body dies, your spirit man immediately departs from the body and goes to be with the Lord if you're a Christian. That's what you want. Amen. You may not be ready to go today, but if God calls today and you're saved, that's what will happen. You will be immediately in the presence of God. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Glory to God. Let's see what Christ did. Or Christ did what the law could not do. Verse 3 says, For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and on account of sin, condemned sins in the flesh. Okay. The law was good. That meaning the Ten Commandments was good. And the Ten Commandments were not a mistake that God made. God gave a simple way of living that he wanted the Israelites to live in front of the Canaanite peoples, who were guilty of all, breaking all commandments, and had no sense of sin or anything. It was just everyday life, the sinful ways were. But the law was good and still good. But the law defines sin. Ten Commandments define sin, tells you what it is. You know, if you put the Ten Commandments before Congress today, they'd have to have a committee here, a committee on each one. Have 10 different committees, you know, to decide what the Ten Commandments were saying. But no, God spells it out to where you and I can understand easily. Amen. You don't even have to have a degree in Greek and Hebrew to understand the Ten Commandments. And so the law was good, but it had no power to give the person to say no to it. It took more than that. And Jesus, when he came, he fulfilled the perfect righteousness of the law. Jesus never broke one commandment, even though everybody else did. He never broke one. And he died a sacrificial death on the cross, and by faith in his perfect righteousness, then we receive eternal life, and we receive pardon from our sins, and God sees us from that point on through the righteousness of his Son. Perfect righteousness of his Son. Amen. So that's why there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And here it Jesus condemned sin in the flesh. The flesh is regarded as a source of sin. The word condemn may be used in the sense of destroying, overcoming, or subduing. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, it tells us there some things that happened. It shows us what condemned means. And there's three examples here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. It says, God, who did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Now, these were created beings of God, angels, but they sinned. They fell with Lucifer when he fell, Satan when he fell. And they've been reserved in everlasting chains of darkness unto the day of judgment, and they will be judged. And you say, how could God, who God created them perfect and pure and upright? Yes, he did, but they made the choice. He also apparently created angels with the power of choice as well. And so they sinned. Even compares that in one way of condemnation. And again, he says, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood on the world of the ungodly. So God brought judgment upon the people of Noah's day because Noah preached righteousness, a preacher of righteousness here, but nobody decided it was important to be righteous, and they just kept on sinning the way they always sinned and did not know until the rains started falling, the rains of God's judgment began to hammer down, and the rains just did not stop until it covered every hill and every mountain and the whole earth. And everybody that wasn't saved and wasn't on Noah's ark, they lost their lives in that judgment. That, my friend, is the ultimate condemnation that can happen. And it will happen again in our world. It says the next time it'll be judged by fire. And it says, in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward who would live ungodly. God basically shows us what's going to happen. Sodom and Gomorrah, that's the only place that God have personally rained fire and brimstone because of their wickedness upon that country, upon those cities. And you think God has changed his mind about that? He has not changed his mind. And God will judge and bring into condemnation everybody that refuses to repent and refuses his son, Jesus. Not that God wants to. If God had wanted to do that, he wouldn't have sent his greatest treasure, his only begotten son, to pay for sins, that people might be forgiven of those sins. And there's people who have had a Sodom and Gomorrah lifestyle, but I can tell you there's some people that have come out of that. They've been saved, truly born again, and left that lifestyle behind and decided to serve God instead. Thank God for that. God can deliver out of any sin and every sin. Hallelujah. And so Christ did what the law could not do within itself. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The law was the perfect righteousness of God. Jesus lived the perfect righteousness of the law, and Jesus' righteous life met the demands of the law. Through Christ, we by faith are made his workmanship in Christ Jesus. Praise God. We're born again of God's Spirit. And we hear Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 quoted a lot of times, and I'll quote it again. But verse 10 is important too. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's why God, we're born again to go and be in pursuit of God and not in pursuit of sin anymore. Praise the Lord. So there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Praise God.